Hello, this is Lincoln with the commercial news for Tuesday, February 11th, 2025. We begin with the front page article, "We Refuse to Be Erased." President Trump's anti-trans orders have real-life implications for Danville residents. This is by Kayla White for the Danville Community News. Some transgender Vermilion County residents are fearful for their jobs, marriages, and even their lives after President Donald Trump signed an executive order that aims to eliminate gender self-identification and replace it with a male-female binary that is unchangeable from birth. According to Trump's January 20th executive order, it is now the United States official policy that a woman is a female or a person belonging at conception to the sex that produces the large reproductive cell, while a man is a male or a person belonging at conception to the sex that produces the small reproductive cell. Dubbed "Defending Women from Gender Ideology Extremism and Restoring Biological Truth to the Federal Government," the order accuses progressive gender ideology of replacing the immutable biological reality of sex with an internal, fluid, and subjective sense of self unmoored from biological facts. And there's a picture here of Beau, who prefers to go by their first name, a Danville resident who moved to Illinois years ago to find refuge for them and their partner. In response to the order, as well as another declaring a new official policy that the federal government cannot fund, sponsor, promote, assist, or support the transition of a child from one sex to another, 12 attorneys general have joined forces to resist. State attorneys general will continue to enforce state laws that provide access to gender-affirming care in states where such enforcement authority exists, and we will challenge any unlawful effort by the Trump administration to restrict access to it in our jurisdictions, Illinois Attorney General Kwame Raoul said in an official statement. Still, Illinois is just one state surrounded by more conservative states, and Vermilion County is a historically conservative area. That contrast has some area residents concerned. For Gage Miller, a veteran who served his country before coming home and later transitioning from woman to man, this new executive order has raised some questions and concerns. "I have had my gender marker changed for the last 10 years," Miller said, adding that his first concern when he heard about the order was that his marriage would be dissolved if his identifying documents were ruled null and void. Miller, a masculine-presenting man with facial hair and a deep voice, travels for work throughout the country. He says he is concerned about how these policies could impact his job and his safety as he travels. "I'm worried that I'm going to have to put myself at risk at my job if I have to change all of these ID documents back," Miller said. "Plus, since Trump's gotten into office, there's a few states that feel more comfortable in pursuing policies against trans people." In Odessa, Texas, for example, the city council passed a motion to change the city ordinance in October 2024, allowing the city to seek fines of up to $500 and charge people with a Class C misdemeanor if they use a restroom that does not correspond to the gender they were assigned at or near the time of birth. Miller says he has had to double down on appearing hyper-masculine to avoid problems, especially when traveling in more conservative areas. "It's scary for me to travel. Basically, I have to act like a straight, white, Trump-gunning man when I'm on the road," Miller, who was a father of four, said. "I can't put myself in any kind of danger because now I could get arrested, I could get fined, I could lose my job, you know?" Miller is grateful to live in Illinois, he said, especially in light of the passage of 103-1063, a new law which passes which makes it easier for people in Illinois to legally change their name, provided they are not a felon or registered sex offender. Even so, he said, living in a more conservative county is hard at times. I actually feel a little bit at ease being in Illinois, Miller said, but in the same sense, Danville is right-winged, and that's a little terrifying. I speak out at Pride. I'm doing this interview. I'm putting myself in danger. Miller, who was a board member at the Vermilion County Pride Coalition, said the upside of these issues is the way they unify people in their efforts to help and protect one another. Everyone is kind of joining in together and trying to protect each other, you know, Miller said, adding that his group is hoping to form a community garden this summer. Everyone grows vegetables, and we start to not depend on the government as much and start helping each other more, Miller said. The new anti-trans bill doesn't just frighten those who have transitioned from one gender to another. Bo, a non-binary person living in Vermilion County who prefers to go by their first name only, moved to the state many years ago, hoping it would be a safe haven for them and their trans partner. It's already tough enough trying to educate people on what that means and why I use these pronouns and how it is for me, said Bo, who goes by they-them pronouns. And now to be told that there's only two sexes, which scientifically is not correct, it feels like I'm endlessly fighting an uphill battle, they said. For Bo, it's not just about gender identity, but about the freedom to live in alignment with their true self. I don't understand how I'm supposed to live in a nation that is free, where we can be who we are, but I'm being told this is all that you can be. You were born with these chromosomes, so obviously this is all you can ever be, Bo said. Despite being assigned the female gender at birth, Bo says the little woman has never felt like it fit. I don't know what it feels like to be a woman because I'm not a woman and I've never felt like a woman, Bo said. Bo, who is heading up a new transgender task force for Danville Pride, another local LGBTQ plus group in the area, said these new changes are a step in the wrong direction. It feels like we're taking not just taking two steps backwards, but running backwards as fast as possible when it comes to self-identity, they said. As concerned as Bo is for themselves and their trans partner, they are more concerned for transgender youth who are the target of another executive order, banning sex-affirming treatments for those under 19. I am in fear for our country and all of our trans people, especially our trans youth, who are still trying to find themselves and have their voice heard, and they're being silenced before they even get the option, Bo said. Ohio Governor Mike DeWine also signed HB 183, an anti-trans law in November 2024 that will go into effect this month, requiring schools to enforce a rule that prohibits members of the female biological sex from entering or using bathrooms designated for the exclusive use of members of the male biological sex, and vice versa. Sex is defined as an individual's biological status as male, female, or something else. Sex is assigned at birth and associated with physical attributes such as anatomy and chromosomes, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The matter is far from decided at conception, according to researchers Ai Min Bao and Dick F. Schwab. According to Bao and Schwab, in their 2011 academic paper published in the journal Frontiers in Neuroendocrinology, at conception, an embryo has no sex organs or even a brain, both of which form at different times and work independently of one another to determine the sex of the fetus before it is born. When an embryo begins to develop a brain, it is female until and unless it receives a surge of testosterone causing it to become male, according to Bao and Schwab. As sexual differentiation of the brain takes place at a much later stage in development than sexual differentiation of the genitals, these two processes can be influenced independently of each other, Bao and Schwab said. In other words, despite Trump's assertion that it is impossible for a person to be born in the wrong sexed body, Bao and Schwab say it's quite possible. Ultimately, they argue a person's sexual orientation, gender identity, and even their risk of developing neuropsychiatric disorders are programmed into our brain during early in utero development. Like Miller, Cody Gilkison, chair of Danville Pride, feels that the current anti-trans environment is both terrifying and galvanizing for the local community. When we came to our community and said, hey, here's a safe place to come out, the population that came to us was largely trans, so we represent a subsection of trans people in Danville, Gilkison said. They are simultaneously terrified by this and also sort of galvanized to get us past this to return to normalcy and look to the future past Trump, he said. Gilkison agrees with researchers like Bao and Schwab, saying the science is clear when it comes to gender and sex. At this point, the science behind transgender identities is real. It's proven. It's not something you can just wipe away by saying the opposite, Gilkison said. There's no alternative facts here. Transgender people genuinely belong to the gender with which they identify. In an official statement released to the commercial news, Danville Pride said trans people refuse to be erased. These actions are not about policy, they are about erasure. Danville Pride stands with our LGBTQ plus community and allies in rejecting these attacks. We refuse to be erased. The statement also called on local officials to remember that trans people deserve the same dignity, respect, and rights as anyone else, the statement read. We call on our elected leaders, businesses, and citizens to take action, to speak out, to protect our most vulnerable, and to ensure that Danville and Illinois remain a place where everyone is free to be who they are, the statement read. Now is the time for unity, resilience, and resistance. We will not go backward. And now to obituaries. Esther Arlene Borgwald, 84, Perrysville, Indiana, passed away on Monday, February 3rd, 2025, at OSF Sacred Heart Medical Center in Danville, Illinois. Esther, known as Sis to her family and Arlene to everyone else, was born on May 12th, 1940, at home in Chrisman, Illinois, the second child of James Carroll and Phoebe Irene Craig Miller. She was preceded in death by her parents and one sister, Helen Baldwin. Survivors include her son, Gary Borgwald, two bonus daughters, Lori Chris Marks Miller and Jennifer Jax Bolander, her grandchildren, Derek Katie Davis, Garrett Borgwald, Presley Marks Miller, Spencer Lauren Marks Miller, Luke Bolander, Megan Bolander, several great-grandchildren, and four sisters, Nancy Bischler of Henry, Illinois, Debbie Mitchell Jim of Ridge Farm, Illinois, Linda Holloway of Charleston, Illinois, and Terry Tabor of Kansas, Illinois. She graduated from Chrisman High School, class of 1958. A celebration of life for Arlene will be held at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time on Wednesday, February 12, 2025, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center, 3940 North Vermilion Street in Danville, Illinois, with Pastor Kurt Flora officiating. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Park in Danville. Visitation will be from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. at the funeral home in Danville. Eric Robert Davis, 42, of Georgetown, passed away at 8:25 Saturday, February 8th at Gilman Healthcare in Gilman. Eric was born on May 3rd, 1982 in Danville, the son of Ronnie C. and Diana Rasmus Davis. He is survived by his mother, Diana Davis of Georgetown, father Ronnie Debbie Davis of Vetersburg, Indiana, brother Kyle, Jessica Davis of Ridge Farm, half-brother Sean, Courtney Mankin of Hume, half-sister Alicia, Mike Marvin of Chrisman, maternal grandmother Shirley Rasmus of Georgetown, paternal grandmother Jenny Davis of Hoopston, aunt and uncles Angie and Tom Adair of Georgetown, Rose Davis of Hoopston, and Randy Lyons of Tilton, five nephews, Jackson Davis, Maddox Davis, Wyatt Keck, Theo Mankin, and Graham Mankin, three nieces, Hayden Willoughby, Huxley Hill, and Kaylee Keck, cousins Jake Lakin Lyons, Natalie Lyons, Richard Destiny Adair, Patrick Mick Krim, Haley Josh Spain, Lainey Lauren Green, Darcy Logan Rasmus, and Victoria Austin Rasmus, special caregivers Teresa, Tamika, and Chili, special aides Dixie, Bonnie, and Noreen, and special bus driver Marilyn. He was preceded in death by his maternal grandfather, Tom Rasmus, paternal grandfather, Herman Davis, aunt Teresa Lyons, and uncle Mike Rasmus. Eric graduated from Westville High School. A celebration of Eric's life will be held at 12:30 p.m. Saturday, February 15th, at the Olivet Church of the Nazarene, 5054 Olivet Road, Georgetown, Illinois, with Pastor James Blue officiating. Visitation will be from 11 to 12:30 p.m. Saturday at the church. He will be laid to rest following the services in Forest Park Cemetery. The family has entrusted the Blurton Funeral Home to assist them in honoring Eric's life. Kent William Hawkins, 62, of Collison, Illinois, passed away suddenly Thursday, February 6, 2025, at Carl Hospital in Urbana, Illinois, surrounded by family. Kent was born July 29, 1962, to Jim and Judy Hawkins of Danville, Illinois. When he was 13 years old, he began milking cows at the dairy in Indianola, Illinois, for his grandpa, Bob. Kent married Mary Camp on May 16th, 1987. They spent 37 wonderful years together. Kent's pride and joy was his son, Kyle, Abby Hawkins. Kent was preceded in death by his mother, Judy Hawkins, his grandparents, Catherine and Bob Craig, his brother, Clint Hawkins, in-laws, Ron and Virginia Camp, and brother-in-law, Bob Camp. He is survived by his father, Jim, Gloria Hawkins, sister, Kelly, Dan, Izzard, several nieces and nephews, along with several great-nieces and nephews. A celebration of Kent's life will be held at 10 a.m. Wednesday, February 12, 2025, at the Blurton Funeral Home in Potomac. Visitation will be from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. Tuesday at the funeral home. He will be laid to rest following the services in the Collison Cemetery. Memorials may be made to the local 4-H or the American Kidney Funds. Larry Inglesby, Sr., 83, of Tilton, Illinois, passed away at his home on February 8, 2025, with his family by his side. Larry was born on September 7, 1941, the son of Paul and Mildred Davis Inglesby in Danville, Illinois. He married Mary Hendricks on July 15, 1961, and she survives. Survivors include his wife, Mary Inglesby of Tilton, Illinois, five children, Larry Jolaine Inglesby, Jr. of Pena, Illinois, Jim Inglesby of Fulton, Missouri, Joe Kelly Inglesby of Indianola, Illinois, Lucy Williamson of Tilton, Illinois, and Wayne Inglesby of Tilton, Illinois. Two sisters, Beverly Allen of Tilton, Illinois, and Judy Newman of Danville, Illinois, and one brother, Gary Debbie Inglesby of San Marcos, Texas, as well as 11 grandchildren and 10 great-grandchildren. A celebration of life will be held at 10 a.m. on Saturday, February 15, 2025, at the United Church of Tilton, 520 West 5th Street, Tilton, Illinois. Burial will be in Sunset Memorial Park. Visitation will be held from 5 to 7 p.m. on Friday, February 14th, at the United Church of Tilton and 1 hour prior to services at the church. Memorials may be made in Larry's memory at the United Church of Tilton. Willa Mae Hines Thomas, 85, of Tolono, Illinois, formerly Danville, left this world peacefully at 12:15 p.m. on February 8, 2025, surrounded by her family at home. She was born December 23, 1939, to Ernest and Dorothy Werkhauser Hines in Danville, Illinois. She married her sweetheart, Edward Ed Thomas, on August 24, 1958, and he survives. Also surviving are her children, Edward Allen Jen Thomas of Tolono, Debbie Mike Bosch of Mahomet, and Kurt Debbie Thomas of Marietta, Georgia. Grandchildren, Lindsay, Matt, Mike, Adam, Samantha, and Colin. 9 great-grandchildren, several nieces and nephews, brother Richard Hines of Georgia, of Lakewood, California, and sister Nancy Kingsbury of Hamilton, Montana. A service to celebrate Willa's life will be held at 11 a.m. on Thursday, February 13th, 2025, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center, 3940 North Vermilion Street, Danville, Illinois. The family will greet friends and relatives for a visitation from 9 to 11 a.m. prior to the service on Thursday. In lieu of flowers, the family requests memorials be made in her memory to St. Jude Children's Research Hospital in Memphis, Tennessee. Terry Goard, Tammy Brazil, to be recognized for contributions to community. 59th Annual Lincoln Douglas King Banquet to be held at Allen Chapel, AME, February 15th. This is reported by Kayla White. This year's Lincoln Douglas King Banquet, an annual celebration and recognition of community members who are contributing positively to the community, will recognize Terry Goard and Tammy Brazil, two black role models who are working hard to make a change in the community. We want people to know there are people in the community who are doing things out of the kindness of their hearts, not for recognition, Banquet Chair Alita Randall told the Commercial News. The banquet, hosted annually by the Allen Chapel African Methodist Episcopal AME Church of Danville since 1965, began as a member-only celebration, but eventually expanded to recognize contributions made by black residents beyond the church. Brazil will be awarded with the Allen Chapel's Community Service Award for the work she does to empower area women in her organization, Women Reaching Women. She is what I would consider boots on the ground, Randall said of Brazil. She is out there helping women, and a lot of times they're homeless and don't have another recourse. They may not have food or shelter. She's meeting people where they are. She's talking to these women, getting them the help they need, and connecting them with resources. Randall said Brazil is also connected to the dwelling place, so she can help women in need get a shower, a meal, or just give them someone to talk to. Goard, a local barber and the first instructor of Danville Area Community College's new barber school program, will be recognized with the Business Award. He is a young black man and a role model. He needs to be recognized because of the work he's doing with the college, Randall said. He wanted to let the people know that not all black men are out there being gang members and shooting people and doing drugs. Terry went to college. He started his own business. He is an entrepreneur. And after all the work he's done, he's now the first instructor in this new barber program. We need more role models like him, Randall said. Another Danville native will participate in the program, Joan Wells, who is the city manager for the city of Champaign, will be the featured speaker at the banquet. With this being Black History Month and her being a Danville native, we felt it was a great opportunity to talk about Black history and the history made in Champaign when she became the city manager, Randall said. The first event was hosted by Elder Smith, who was the pastor of Allen Chapel in 1965 to commemorate the civil rights contributions of President Abraham Lincoln and abolitionist Frederick Douglass. In 1988, Reverend David Jarrett changed the name of the banquet to Lincoln Douglass King Banquet to commemorate the civil rights legacy of Dr. Martin King, Jr. Dinner, which is being catered by Gail Moore, a private caterer, will include fried and baked chicken, roast beef, mashed potatoes and gravy, candied yams, green beans, corn, rolls, salad, peach cobbler, lemonade, tea, and coffee. After dinner, there will be musical entertainment by local musicians. The banquet will be held at 5 p.m. Saturday, February 15th at the New Life Banquet Center, located at 1419 North Bowman Avenue. The ticket donation for the banquet is $30. Tilton man sentenced to 36 years in IDOC for armed robbery. Bradley Williams pleaded guilty to charges of armed robbery, a Class X felony, for which he was sentenced to 30 years in the Illinois Department of Corrections. Williams, age 28, of Tilton, also pleaded guilty to aggravated battery, a Class 3 felony, for which he will serve a consecutive sentence of 6 years in the IDOC. Following his term of imprisonment, Williams will serve 18 months of mandatory supervised release. Judge Mark S. Goodwin presided over the Williams plea hearing, in which the state presented evidence that after 11 p.m. on the night of May 17, 2023, Danville police responded to the parking lot of a business on Gilbert Street. Officers arrived on scene and quickly began providing life-saving first aid to a victim until paramedics arrived. The victim stated to police that he was there to meet Caleb Cotton. The victim was transported to the hospital, where he was treated for his injuries. Witnesses reported to police and security footage from the area confirmed that the co-defendants left the parking lot in a white Cadillac after the shooting occurred. A short time later, the Cadillac was located at the residence of Cotton. Through further investigation, police determined that the co-defendants had switched vehicles before fleeing to a hotel on Lynch Road in Danville. Both Williams and Cotton were located at the hotel. While speaking with police, Cotton admitted to being present during the shooting, and through further investigation, it was determined that Williams was a shooter. Cotton was previously sentenced at the hearing on October 2024. State's Attorney Jacqueline Lacey thanked the Danville Police Department for their quick response in providing aid to the shooting victim, as well as in their work to locate both defendants following this senseless crime. It is my hope that this case will serve as a reminder of the consequences that can result from acts of violent crime, she said. Antique Auto Club to meet Ileana Antique Automobile Club will have their Valentine's Day party Thursday, February 13th at 6 p.m. at the Ridgeview Baptist Church, 3838 North Vermilion Street. The monthly meeting will follow the dinner. Vermilion County SWCD to meet. The regular board meeting of the Vermilion County SWCD will be held Tuesday, February 18th at 8:30 a.m. at the USDA Service Center, 1905A, U.S. Route 150. Lions to hear from Richard Yates. Bob Richard and Stephanie Yates from the Danville Public School Foundation will speak at the Danville Lions Club at noon Thursday, February 13th. The Lions Club meets at Spanky's Banquet Hall, 409 East Main Street. This has been Lincoln with the Danville Commercial News for February 11th, Tuesday, 2025. Thank you. I'll hope to be reading to you again soon.